of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our connections with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Well, Rhys DeMille with Republic Services joins us in the first part of the show to talk about a number of things, including the 2017 annual waste service fee invoice. What is it? And why do I have to pay it? Rhys, don't answer that yet. We're in our introduction. Also, Rhys has some interesting stories about China and the fact that they're no longer accepting our plastic. Why are they doing that and what that means? And, hey, there's a little town in Wales, maybe not so little, that is planning to go to monthly garbage pickup. That's a novel idea, and we're going to ask Rhys about that. That's in the first part of the show.
Then in the second half of the show, we'll be speaking with Katie Wang, the executive director of the Park City Film Series, who's joining us to discuss the film they'll be airing this Thursday. It's called From the Ashes and comes from Nat Geo and Bloomberg Philanthropies. It goes beyond the rhetoric of the so-called war on coal to look at the unintended impacts of coal energy production, as well as the stories of those impacted by the decreasing production of coal.
In addition, Lindsay Beebe with the Sierra Club will join in on that conversation about the film. And Lindsay is with Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign, a group designed to assist people interested in shifting over to renewable energy.
Then, next up, last year at this time, Lindsay Gammon was heading up the daily field operations for the Summit Community Gardens. Now, she's started her own farm at her home in Silver Creek. It's called Mountain Song Farms, and Lindsay joins us to talk about what she's growing and how you can eat it.
That's right. All that, and if we have time, some news on the Utah Public Services Commission's public hearing on Rocky Mountain Power's request to increase fees and rates for rooftop solar customers. The hearing is scheduled for tomorrow down in Salt Lake City. We'll give you some numbers on how your monthly bill might be impacted.
We don't take phone calls during the show, but you can join in on today's discussion by posting your comments and questions to our Facebook page, KPCW This Green Earth. Our connections with and impacts upon the environment. That's what This Green Earth is all about. Stay with us.
I'm Nicole Chastain with All Seasons Resort Lodging, proud to support KPCW. When you own a second property, it can be difficult to manage, but it's our passion. We maintain units with nightly rental management and HOA services to care for your property. More information at allseasonsresortlodging.com.
Support for KPCW programming has been provided by the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, a nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting Utah's remaining Red Rock Wilderness lands. SUWA and Utah's Red Rock Wilderness need your support now more than ever. To learn more about how you can become involved, please visit the SUWA website at suwa.org.
Welcome to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak.
I'm Nell Larson.
And joining us in the studio is Rhys DeMille. He is the Republic Services Manager of Municipal Services and Government Affairs for Northern Utah.
Quite a title.
Yes. And he's here this morning to talk about some solid waste and recycling issues, some really interesting things going on around the world with respect to solid waste and how that might influence us. But first of all, let's start local. Rhys, first of all, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
The 2017 annual waste service fee invoice went out just a while ago.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. It should be in everybody's mailbox by now.
It should be, yes.
Okay. And so if people are wondering, what is this invoice? And didn't I just pay for my solid waste fee not 6 or 7 months ago? What's going on?
Or more recent than that, because in 2016, the county council decided to implement this waste services fee to cover the increasing costs of services and landfill management and those type of requirements here in the area. And so they instituted this fee and then hired us to send out the invoices. So okay. The money goes, we're just the collector. We send the invoices out and then we get the money and just a straight pass through back to the county.
Okay.
And it went out, the original 2016 bill went out in December. There were some issues with some addresses, and so some received a another invoice or a re-invoice in the spring. So some people just barely got done paying their 2016 invoice in maybe April or May, and then in July comes the 2017 invoice.
And did you have pretty good luck, pretty good response rates on that 2016 invoice? How's that going?
Well, unfortunately, we had some issues with some addresses, but and there were some people that said, "I'm not paying this." And so we, you know, in conjunction with the county, there are fees for those who don't pay their invoice, obviously. And then also, we'll pick up your can and take it away as instructed by the county. And,
sure.
And then you have to pay a fee to get it back, and then we'll bring it back to
you.
So
now you're paying your late fee, and now you're paying a fee to get your can back because you don't want to pay it. And what are we talking about as fee?
As far as how much the fee is $36
for
the annual fee.
For an annual, that's $3 a month.
But you could pay a late fee if you don't pay it on time. You could pay a $50 fee for us to come pick up your can and take it away, and then bring it back to you. So this fee is not going away, and it's really about 1/5 of what the fees would be if you lived in other areas, because most people pay upwards of $12 to $16 a month for their garbage services, and as you indicated, it's $3 a month.
75 cents a week.
Yeah.
Even that. Yeah. Dime a day. Okay.
Keep going, Chris.
Should I?
How much an hour?
Yeah. Okay, so that was the 2016 fee. The 2017 fee is the same,
$36? $36.
Came out, right? Now, again, this isn't going to Republic Services per se. It's just a county fee. This is going to the county coffers.
Correct.
To help support their solid waste practices, including, primarily operating and the landfill and helping to design the new cell and construct the new cell, because we all know we're running out of room. They have less than 18 months of space left at the landfill. So this fee, this $36, is helping to pay for the future landfill operations and property size, et cetera. Okay, so that went out. And like I said, I'm assuming that you got at least 90, 95% of the people in this community
paid. Yeah, for the 2016 fee, there were about 1,000 people that hadn't paid last month. But those are starting to come in more, especially since now we're picking up cans and taking them away, and they have to pay us to get those cans back.
And what do you have to pay to get your can back?
$50 to get your can back. So we're...
Wow.
Yeah, that's our teeth,
hey,
I guess, as instructed by the county to do that, and we're partnering in this, so it's
right.
A service, and they've got to pay for it.
Okay, so that's out. How much time do I have to pay my 2017 fee before I get a late fee?
Well, 30 days, mainly 30
days.
But you should just pay it upon receipt. Like I said, it's not going away, and you're going to get another one next July, and it's going to be your annual
right.
fee.
So this will happen annually in July then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So that's Republic Services has to I guess deal with all these people, that not the county, Republic Services as the bill collector.
Correct. But the county is very good in working with us on that, and they're helping us with that.
So
but
if they
yes,
have questions,
it's on us to get those get that collection done.
Okay. All right, so that's the invoice issue. I think we got that covered.
Yep.
Anything else you want us to mention about that? Okay.
Just pay your bill.
Thank you very much.
Pretty straightforward there.
Let's turn our attention to some other topics that are of interest. China is an interesting one. They're no longer accepting plastics. They're no longer importing plastics from other countries.
Well, I wouldn't say no longer completely, but
right.
they have severely... decrease the amount of plastics that they're taking. And for a couple of reasons. One is they feel like they have enough plastic in their own country. They don't need to bring others in.
Right.
And they also want to curb the contamination that's in the containers that are coming over. And there are illegal activity that comes through these containers as well, whether it be weapons or drugs and those
right.
things.
Right. So it's a conduit for...
Correct.
Other nefarious actions and activities.
So they're saying if they can just stop it or at least slow it down significantly, they'll be able to keep that out of their country. So I don't want to say they're not taking it completely, but they've significantly decreased the amount of plastic recyclables that they're importing. Mm.
So have you seen that impact like the market for these recycled goods that we, you know, are creating every day?
Well, we're not the end users. So the materials recovery facilities, or the MRFs, would be the ones that are trying to sell that product to China. What we are seeing is that more recyclables are being sold to Southeast Asia, and then also trying to stay here in the States as well. And so as the materials are here, kept here, we're able to use those recyclable materials in our manufacturing plants in our homeland.
Right. There's a cost associated with that, obviously, because it's a lot cheaper for companies to send the plastic over to China or Southeast Asia, where labor costs are much, much, much less. Environmental standards are much less. So it doesn't cost as much as it does here to reprocess recycle plastics.
Yeah, financially, it would certainly help us if we could send it to China, absolutely. But
China's catching on.
China's catching on. And it started with the green fence. I don't know if you remember, we talked about it a year or so ago.
The green fence, and now it's a...
And now it's...
like I say,
they called it the green sword. I don't know if they still call it that, this green sword, but it's their efforts to clean up the recycling material that is coming into their country.
Well, good, in a way. Good, because maybe that will entice us to use less plastic in general.
Yeah, absolutely.
As one option.
Right, or process our things in our own country, figure out, yeah.
Well, just one stat, 1 million plastic bottles are purchased worldwide every minute. And so that's a lot of plastic bottles that are going into the waste stream, that also going into our oceans and our waterways and other things that we use every day.
So in the course of this conversation, 15-minute conversation, 15 million plastic bottles will be purchased.
Correct.
Okay. All about the numbers here, just to help you get your head around some of these issues. So that's the China issue. Apple and recycling, their attempts to recover and have a closed loop supply chain.
Yeah, Apple has come out. They came out in the spring and says they want to manufacture an iPhone or a cell phone that is from 100% recycled material. But the issue is they need more recycled phones. And so we get calls all the time, what do I do with my phone? Because most people, you know what they do with an old phone? They put it in a plastic bag, put it in a cupboard, and they think, my kid will use it or whatever. And then it never goes anywhere. And the best way to recycle a phone is give it to your neighbor or somebody else that doesn't have the type of phone that you have and they're trying to upgrade. That's the best way to do it. If not, there are certain places around the valley and here that electronics can be recycled. And Apple they've got a charge. And they're saying, we are going to make our cell phones out of 100% recycled material, 100%.
So that means no new extraction, no new mining, decreased environmental impacts. But that's going to be a challenge to find that material.
Yeah, they said it is a huge task, and
right.
Kind of the cell phone industry in itself says, you know, we want to see how this works, but they need the cell phones recycled, and then obviously extracting each of those metals and each of those the materials that they need to make a new phone is going to be huge and at a huge expense.
I believe Recycle Utah will accept phones.
Yes, absolutely.
So you can take your old phone, your 2-year-old phone or something, to Recycle Utah, and they'll process it. They send it down to, another a facility down in Salt Lake City that might specialize in taking those phones apart. Because you have to take them apart, pull out all the rare exotic metals. There's gold in that phone, very, very, very trace amounts of it, but also very exotic metals that are in there too. And so their goal is to take the phone, and so that closed loop idea, as Nell said, no new raw material, zero raw material phones.
Correct. Let's just go over a couple of those places you can take your phone. You can take it to Recycled Utah, for sure.
Yeah.
But places that you purchase phones, Best Buy.
Okay.
Staples has electronics recycling location. Meatech, TAMS recycling.
TAMS, that sounds Salt
TAMS, okay. Down in Salt Lake City as well. So there are places that take your electronics recycling. Now, there is a small fee to drop off electronics because it is a manual process to separate that material, no question.
Well, you mentioned a little bit about that before the show. At TAMS, you've kind of like seen how they break these down. And Chris and I were imagining this to be like an impossible process to get the different elements out of the phones. But you said it's pretty straightforward.
It is a process, but they have a assembly line type of a process, and it goes quicker than you think it would. And they get that material separated and put into its
bins. But it's done by, is it done mostly by hand?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's people standing in line, just pulling these phones apart and pulling out, knowing what to pull out,
correct,
where it is. And like say, at the end of the day, that gold adds up.
Well, Apple took out a ton of gold last year from their phones, which equated to about $36 million in worth.
Right.
One ton,
but that's one ton less gold that has to be extracted in a raw form.
Correct.
From out of hundreds of tons of ore. So, okay, so that's the point of that. And we'll track that, see how things are doing. We're speaking with Reese DeMille. He's Republic Services Manager of Municipal Services and Government Affairs for Northern Utah. And we're talking all things solid waste as he comes on periodically, solid waste and recycling stories and issues. We've got a few more minutes. Do you want to turn to... I want to cover this story in Wales, because that's interesting, novel, and let's see if it's applicable here.
Yeah, we get people that ask us, you know, can my recycling go every week, and can my garbage go every other week?
Mm-hmm.
And so I did a little research, and I found out that in Wales, there's a city, substantial city. It's not too small a city,
right.
13,000 homes. And they are going to a once-a-month MSW pickup, your material, solid waste. And then they're going to continue, obviously, picking up recyclables weekly and also food waste weekly. Now, we don't have the ability right here in Summit County we don't have a compost yard. We could one day have a compost yard, but it does bring up the question, can we do solid waste less than once a week, and can we do recycling more often than it is? But I did a little personal audit down my personal street, and I picked up the lids of recycling cans, and I noticed that almost every recycling can had about 50% of the can was full of air, because they had thrown boxes into the can that were not flattened.
Right.
And if they would do that, they had boxes sticking out of the top, but yet as soon as I took them out and flattened them, they had 50% of the can left.
Right.
And so we have the ability here, most people do, to do a better job in how we put recyclables in the can, and that would give us more space. But then back to this is, can we really, is it really a good idea to do, to collect solid waste less often than once a week?
Well,
I think so.
Okay.
I think it's
Thank
a good
you,
idea.
That's the question.
Let's go for it. You know?
Why not?
Why not? I think it would be a motivator, right, to make sure that you're taking everything out of that trash mm-hmm. that can go into other containers. If your food waste is being picked up every week, no problem.
Food waste and green waste are the big issues. Green waste in the summer.
Okay.
So if you have grass clippings, you really don't want those in your can for longer than a week. The smell would be unbearable. And then also food waste. So with critters and other things,
right.
you don't want that decomposing in your can. So that would be the issue is, what do we do with green waste? What
yep.
do we do with food waste? And then if we have a plan for those, then maybe it would be an option to look at when we pick up MSW a little differently.
Well, it's one way of changing behaviors, right? And maybe we would produce a little less. Because I'm sure this town in Wales probably generally has a much more sustainable footprint to their practices than we do here in the U.S. So maybe they just generate less waste to begin with. But this is a great opportunity. They're seeing it that... Well, you're going to track that.
I'm tracking it. I'm anxious to see how this works.
How it works.
Just
once
getting started.
Once a month can. It's not like you get a can that's four times the size of your... It's the same can.
Same can.
Once a month. Okay.
And they think they can do it because they think that people are going to be pushed to recycle. And, mm-hmm. 65, 70% of what we throw away can be recycled, as Noah's speaking of.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an opportunity to make some headway there.
Okay. That's... It's Community in Wales. We got, let's see. Oh, speaking of, here's one thing I learned. I was watching a video on a MRF, Material Recovery Facility, and they recommend that you not when you have your plastic bottle and put it in your recycle, don't put the lid back on it. Don't screw down, because it has a tendency, when it goes through the MRF, it's going to get compressed at some point, and then that bottle cap will act as a projectile, and that's dangerous to the people working. So, right, Reese? So what do you do?
Yeah, we've been told two things. You either squish your bottle down and then you can put the lid back on it, or don't put the lid on it at all. Just throw it away. Because it's going to fall through the conveyor belt system chains and belts for the most part anyway, and just get stuck and cause a problem. The best way to do it is squish your water bottle down, throw it in the recycling bin, take your lid and throw it in the garbage and be done.
All right. You know what? We need a sticker on the side of those our own recycling cans that says that reminds people of that. I know we need a sticker.
A novel down the side with instructions on best
I know
practices.
That sticker, that sticker might be 2 by 3 feet in size.
We are putting stickers on cans now with recyclable items. So as new cans go out, if they don't have a hot stamp on top of the lid, they will have a sticker. They should have a sticker that says what you can and cannot recycle, or should or should not recycle.
That's a great
idea. So look
idea.
For those stickers on your cans.
All right. I'm looking for it.
If it doesn't have a hot stamp. Most of them have a
hot stamp. Meaning just like a
that comes
stencil.
From the manufacturer that says what should or shouldn't go in a can.
All right. Make sure it's in big, giant 25 font with exclamation marks and orange
won't be that
color.
Big. So look closely.
Something we need.
Red flag.
Yeah, we need. All right, Reese DeMille, Republic Services Manager in Municipal Services and Government Affairs of Northern Utah. Thanks as always for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you maybe the end of this year for an update on those invoices
and holiday recycling.
And holiday
absolutely. Perfect.
And what's going on in Wales? All right, let's take a break. For some underwriters and sponsors, and we come back, Katie Wang, Park City Film Series, joins us.
That's right. She'll be here to talk about their upcoming film, From the Ashes.
To this green earth. We'll be right back.
This is Brenda with Republic Services, your local provider for recycling and garbage collection. Information about what is acceptable to put in your curbside recycling bin can be found at summitcountyrecycles.org. Please help Summit County be clean. Remember to recycle.
This is Steve Roney with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties. We continue to be proud supporters of KPCW, our local source for Park City news. Our agents are Summit and Wasatch County's source for real estate, and we can be reached at bhhsutah.com.
Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson.
I'm Chris Cherniak.
And joining us in the studio for the second segment today is Katie Wang, the Executive Director of the Park City Film Series. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Sorry, I have a little bit of a cold, so if I sound like, if I don't sound like myself, that's
if
why.
We hear some sniffling in the background, we'll know where it's coming from.
Yep.
So you have a film coming up this Friday.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
So the Sierra Club's Wasatch Back chapter, the Beyond Cold campaign, reached out to us about a month ago, and they said, hey, we've got this great film. We'd love to bring it into Park City. We know this isn't your regular season, but would you be interested in partnering with us? And, of course, we jumped on the chance. The film's called From the Ashes, and it's really about the impact, environmental, social, health impacts that coal has been having on these communities where coal is typically found in the Appalachians and then up in the Powder River Basin. Just to the north of us here. And what's really interesting about the film is that it does a great job, I think, of looking at it from both the kind of liberal perspective and the conservative perspective of, you know, we hear a lot from the Trump administration about how we're going to bring coal back and revive this industry. And then the other hand, we kind of hear these politicos saying, well, you know, coal is actually on its way out. You know, maybe its time has passed and we should be looking more towards the future. And so you hear certainly, you know, from liberals and from the Sierra Club type people, you know, their perspective on coal and the Beyond Coal campaign. But then you also have conservative Republicans, politicians who were saying, you know, if my community is going to survive, this is what we have to look at. So it's interesting, I think, the balanced perspective that they offer. And this is certainly a current conversation in our own community. I mean, just this morning, we were talking about Summit County's study that they're doing to go beyond, you know, what would it look like to wean ourselves off of coal-fired power plants and go to renewables at whatever level. And certainly the city has been talking about that. County's looking at that, Salt Lake County. And so when Sierra Club approached us, said, yes, this is absolutely a timely topic for us. We'd love to partner with you and really amplify that message. And that's really the intent of, you know, of us doing these type partnerships. And, you know, we kind of put this all under the umbrella of our Real Community series, where we get to work with other nonprofits and reach out to the community. And people who don't maybe not necessarily normally come to the film series to see our films, but to really engage with these topics and have engaging conversations afterwards.
Well, one thing that was interesting to me is I read that the director thought about his dad a lot during the creation of the film, because he said, you know, he and his dad share about zero in their political beliefs and their beliefs about energy. And so he wanted something that would not be offensive, right? That would resonate with his dad as well as him. And I thought, like, what a good litmus test.
Right. You know? And it's not that they don't address the issue, right? I mean, it's not, you know, in trying to appeal to both sides, right? To both conservatives and liberals. I think they do a good job of making a compelling argument, but that so that everyone can hear it. Mm-hmm. So it's not just kind of plain vanilla of, oh, everything's okay, and really, you know, there's no conflict here. You know, they don't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not afraid of taking a stand.
Yeah.
There certainly is a perspective that's offered in this film, but I think that they do it in a way. And I'm interested to hear, you know, other people that come to see it, if they have that same resonance. And Lindsay can speak to that, because they actually showed the film earlier this summer down in Salt Lake City. But you know what the response was from the community. But I really, because my dad is also conservative Republican, completely 180 different degrees from my political stance. And, you know, I do try to look at some of these topics of how could I talk to my dad about it in a way that he would hear it and we could have a conversation and it wouldn't just be us taking our sides and then just walking away with nothing, with no conversation. Just, well, here's my stance, here's your stance, okay, we're done. Right, but how can we engage meaningfully in a conversation? And I think this film does a good job of doing that.
Wow, okay. So joining us on the phone is Lindsay Beebe. She's with the Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign. Lindsay, thanks for joining us this morning on This Green Earth.
Thank you for having me.
So I don't know how much you heard of Katie talking about the film. You've seen the film, correct?
Yes. Yeah, we did do a showing of this, a screening down in Salt Lake about a month ago at this point, yeah.
Okay. And what was the general takeaway, the sense of what the film was about?
I do think Katie hit a lot of the major points there, but I think one of the most important pieces of this film is it really does focus on that human aspect of energy transition, what it means to communities and to families to find a new way of creating energy, of supporting their families. And so you really see a discussion of a just transition, and we know we're moving towards a more renewable and clean energy economy, but how do we do so in a way that is ethical and is a way that cares for the people who have kept the lights on for us for generations?
So tell us about the Beyond Coal campaign and how, what the motivation was for starting it.
The Beyond Coal campaign started, I believe, back in 2008, and it's a way to transition away from renewable energy and towards clean energy. We're looking to curb emissions from fossil fuels in order to address climate change and other public health impacts like asthma and premature respiratory illness. And so it started when, you know, in the Midwest, when there's a really high concentration of generation plants in the middle of urban centers, and they really have a strong impact on public health. Here in Utah, I've been working on the Beyond Coal campaign for the past 2.5 years, and we've been focusing on ensuring that we protect our public lands and our beautiful wilderness areas. There's a Clean Air Act regulation called the Regional Haze Rule that we've been working on to make sure that we can clean up our air in rural and inhabited areas. And we're also working on protecting clean energy and making sure that there's a path forward with rooftop solar, for example, that is having a public hearing actually this week to make sure that we can maintain our access to clean energy here in Utah.
Now, nationwide, I think coal provides for about 30% of our energy, but the stats are obviously pretty different here in Utah. Can you give us a picture of that energy profile here?
Yeah, the energy profile in Utah, make no mistake, Utah is a coal state. As of right now, the state is a net exporter of energy. It produces in-state about 80% of its electricity from coal. And that's a little bit different from what maybe you and I receive when we flip our light switch on. About 80% of the population in Utah is serviced by Rocky Mountain Power. And Rocky Mountain Power has a bit of a different energy mix. They provide about 62% of our energy from coal, about 15% from natural gas. So overall, about 77% of what you get when you flip on the light switch comes from fossil fuels here in Utah.
All right. And is that trending down in any way, or has that just been kind of the continuum?
It is trending down, and we're happy to see it. However, what we're unhappy about is what we'd love to see more of here at the Sierra Club is a stronger investment in wind and solar here in Utah, because Rocky Mountain Power is a regional utility. You know, they draw from renewable power, wind up in Wyoming, for example. Mm-hmm. Here in the state of Utah, we're receiving only about 0.08% of our energy from Rocky Mountain Power from solar. We think
0.01%. Less than 1%.
Yes, and that's according to their environmental report from 2016. So I'm taking their own numbers here.
Right.
And so that is, you know, in the sixth sunniest state in the nation, we all know how sunny Utah is, and how vast. And so we really think that's an underutilization of Utah's massive solar resources.
And as you mentioned, this public hearing by the Public Services Commission is tomorrow in South Salt Lake City at the Heber Wells Building. And this is an important meeting.
It's in
important
Salt
meeting.
Lake City, actually. Yeah. Downtown Salt Lake. Yeah.
It's an important meeting because the PSC is going to be analyzing or evaluating or maybe making a decision on Rocky Mountain Power's request to increase some fees and rates with respect to solar power. So
yes, yep. And the public has this is the main opportunity for the public to weigh in. You can submit comments online, of course, at psc.gov. But you can also show up in person, share your personal story, why you care about solar. Maybe you have solar rooftop panels on your home. Maybe you'd like to one day, but making sure that we don't, you know, hike rates unreasonably or unfairly on customers and maintain a fair access to this clean energy that, you know, we can all harness, I think is an important stance to take. So I hope a lot of people will join us down at the Heber M. Wells Building tomorrow for sure.
Good.
2 p.m. to 6:30.
Okay.
Do you want to just quickly walk us through what the Rocky Mountain Power proposal is?
Sure. So back in November, Rocky Mountain Power revisited the rooftop solar cost benefit docket by requesting a rate change to rooftop solar customers' bills. So this would only affect people with rooftop solar. And what they asked for a change in three parts. One is a decrease or a devaluation in the price of energy that you can sell back to the utility that comes off of your solar panels. The next is an increase in the monthly connection fee from $8 to $15 per month. And then the third proposed new charge is a demand charge, which is, you know, it can have different impacts on people. It basically means you get charged more for pulling energy off at higher times of use. Which makes sense, but this charge in particular is $9 per kilowatt and you know, could really impact people's bills in a real way, anywhere from $65 to $85 per month, according to our Sierra Club analysis.
Right, and I was looking at the kilowatt hour fee decrease that you mentioned. It's right now it's around 10.7 cents per kilowatt hour. They're requesting mm-hmm. a decrease to 3.8 cents per kilowatt hour. Mm-hmm.
And this is what they would credit.
This is what you would get for putting electricity
solar
on the grid. Right. Your credit mm-hmm. would go from 10.7 cents per kilowatt hour down to 3.8 cents per kilowatt hour. That's one third. That's significant.
It's a significant change.
And that obviously will give people pause to mm-hmm. think twice or three times about whether it's cost the benefit analysis is worthwhile to install solar panels. So this is, again, this is all going to be discussed tomorrow at the public hearing down in Salt Lake City. Go to psc.gov for additional details. But let's circle back to the film in the last few minutes. So again, it's this Friday.
Yeah, Friday, 7:30. It's free admission. It will be followed by a panel discussion as well. So Lindsay's actually going to be the moderator for that. And we'll have Luke Carton with the Park City Municipal Sustainability Department. We'll have Aaron Bragg with Summit County. And then we have a couple other speakers lined up, some student activists who've been really working on the legislation here in Park City.
And me.
And you.
What?
That's right.
You're gonna
and
be...
Nell Larson from Swanner.
Nell Larson from the Swanner Preserve and Eco Center.
Right.
You're on the panel?
I am.
Sorry. The head cold. It's making my...
Good. You're part of the panel. Great.
Yeah, no, so it'll be great. So it'll really be engaged discussion. And as we're, you know, I'm listening to you talk about what's going on, you know, at this hearing with Rocky Mountain Power, with, you know, the solar reimbursement, you know, I think it's important for people to see what are the impacts that coal is having on these communities, as Lindsay mentioned. You know, it's, you know, certainly we know about the environmental impacts kind of writ large for all of us, but the people that live next to these mines, you know, what's happening to them, what's happening to their water, what's happening to their air, what's happening to their personal health, and how, you know, many of them are looking at, you know, you hear a lot of rhetoric about, oh, you know, you're killing people's jobs and their, you know, their livelihood, their ability to make a living. It's like, well, you know, you talk to some of these people and they're like, you know, we want clean water and clean air too. You know, we want a job, but if we can have a job that can provide us with clean energy and clean water and all these other things, yeah, let's do that. You know, they're fully embracing that. And we've seen other films come through that talk about the tar sands up in Alberta and Canada. And it's the same thing. You know, the skills that they have from mining are actually very transferable to the new energy economy. You know, these jobs are something that they can go into, and they're not going to be dying a slow, horrible death, you know, in a coal mine, right? You know, no one wants that,
right.
Certainly. And so, and they do address that directly, that some of the coal miners say, you know, we have not been well taken care of by these coal mining companies. And if there's a way to get out of that and still have a livelihood and move forward, we're all about that. So I think it's really, you know, again, I think it's a conversation that hits on many points, but really provides enough information. And I think, you know, balanced information that you can have a reasonable conversation and a productive conversation about what is the way forward. And certainly here in Utah, we are very dependent on coal. What's that new future look like for us, and how do we not leave people behind as, you know, we move forward into the future?
One interesting item, I was looking at the Energy Information Association website, EIA.gov, and they do note that coal extraction out of the Powder River Basin that you mentioned, Katie, which is the largest area of coal extraction in the country, that has increased over the last two quarters quite a bit. And the thing is, most of it is going out of the country.
Yes, and there's an article in the New York Times on Sunday all about that, and how they talk about this a bit in the film, about some of the ports that they were trying to develop on the West Coast so that they could export more coal. It's not staying in the United States. All of this is going to China.
China, Southeast Asia, India, et cetera.
They want cheap, you know, because they're all going to solar, right? So they don't have as much coal coming out there.
They're still building a lot of coal-fired power plants over there, too.
But less than they were. But yeah, so
they have a thirst for coal, and so does India.
Yeah, it's a very timely topic, and certainly something you'll see in the current news. And the film is, you know, premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival this spring. So it is, you know, right on track with what's going on in the news right now. So
great.
We hope people come out. It's a free screening, open to the public. You know, it's not rated, but certainly is a conversation that's, you know, appropriate for all ages, I think. I'll be there with my kids. But doors open at 7 o'clock, and 7:30 we'll kick it off and have a panel discussion at the end. So come prepared to be engaged and have a great conversation afterwards.
All right.
And thanks to our friends at the Sierra Club, because we really they brought it to us. It was really their concept, and we were just happy to be the local partner with the Wasatch Back chapter and the Beyond Coal campaign. So a big thanks to Lindsay and Carly Farrow, who's the Wasatch Back chapter representative over there.
All right, Katie Wang.
ParkCityFilmSeries.org.
All right, ParkCityFilmSeries.org. Katie Wang, executive director of the Park City Film Series. The film is called From the Ashes this Friday at 7:30. Doors open at 7. It's free. And then the panel of experts who will be talking afterwards, including Lindsay Beebe, who has been talking to us by phone.
She'll
with the Sierra Club. She'll be the moderator. Luke Carton, Aaron Bragg, our own Nell Larson, and
And a student that we've actually interviewed on the show before about their lobbying efforts down on Capitol Hill here in Utah. So
excellent.
It'll be a good crew.
Good conversation. Learn a lot this Friday at the Santee Auditorium.
That's right.
Thanks, Katie. And thanks, Lindsay, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I hope you'll all join us. Thanks.
All right. Let's take a break for a couple underwriters. When we come back, we're going to speak with Lindsay Gammon. She's the chief farm officer for Mountain Song Farms, a new farm here in the Silver Creek area of Summit County. It's This Green Earth. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Tom Pettigrew from Park City Mountain and a proud supporter of KPCW. From kids' rope courses to zip lines and hiking trails to the bike park, Park City offers a wide range of family-friendly activities all summer long. More information on new summer activities and all the other programs can be found at parkcitymountain.com.
This is Bruce Greenwald from 1-7, new proud sponsor of KPCW. 1-7 is an independent financial advisory firm for the Park City lifestyle. Our firm was founded on the 7 pillars of wellness, and our mission is helping people find meaning in their money by providing wealth management, asset protection, and tax strategies. More information can be found at weare17.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Juliana Miller from Miller Orthodontics, a proud supporter of The Local View with Randy Barton. With a combined 45 years of orthodontic experience, my husband and I are now raising our family and working full-time in the Park City community. There are so many reasons to smile in Park City. More information at m2ortho.com.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues, concepts, sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak.
I'm Nell Larson.
And joining us in the studio is our third guest today, Lindsay Gammon. She is, I jokingly say, your chief farm CFO at Mountain Song Farms, right?
Yes, that's right.
This is your own endeavor.
This is my own endeavor.
Now, last year at this time, you were working with Summit Community Gardens.
Right.
Right?
Right. So I helped develop the garden. I worked there for the past 2 years. And then at the end of last season, I really decided to move on and start my own farm up in Silver Creek.
Wow. Okay. You start your own farm.
Right.
That sounds a lot harder than the sentence suggests.
It is, actually.
Okay. So how big is this farm?
So it's actually, I'm farming right now on a little less than a quarter of an acre. So it doesn't seem and sound like that much, but I use an intensive growing technique that prioritizes quick growing crops and high value crops. So I'm actually able to pull enough produce per week to supply one restaurant in Park City and then do a weekly farm stand at my farm and then feed my family and any friends that come over.
That's intense.
Yeah, intense.
Okay.
It is, the acreage, though, is an interesting topic, and I think I first learned about this through Copper Moose Farm. I've been a member there forever, and for the longest time, it was like, you know, they're feeding, like, dozens and dozens of families off of, like, you know, like, barely more than an acre kind
right.
of thing, and that's grown significantly now, mm-hmm. but it's really impressive how right. much food you can get from one
right.
acre or one yeah. quarter of an acre,
and
I'm sure how much maintenance that takes.
Definitely, it's a little overwhelming.
And in a short growing season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is a short growing season, and I have a greenhouse up at my property, so I start everything in there from seed, and I continue to grow in there through the season. I grow tomatoes and basil in the greenhouse, but you know, it's limiting up here for the season and for, you know, our weather conditions and our water access, et cetera. But using this intensive growing technique, I use a little bit of water. I mean, I have to use some, but I don't use as much as a typical farm would. And because I space my crops so close, it cuts down on weed growth. I'm able to maximize each square foot and pull as much produce as possible. And then the quick growing really increases my yield. You know, I can grow greens and harvest them for 4 weeks straight and start a new crop, and they'll be ready within 3 weeks. So I'm just constantly planting and harvesting and planting and harvesting.
So what inspired you to start your own farm on your own property? What was the motivator there?
Well, I mean, I've had a dream about this for years and years and years. And, you know, I started at the garden with the hopes that that would help me learn more about Park City and the growing climate and the community here and see what kind of needs there were for more farms. I mean, Copper Moose has been just amazing, and she is probably one of my greatest heroes
in
farming.
Daisy Fair.
You were just called a hero of farming, just to note that.
But I do see a need, and at least in my community in Silver Creek, that there was more, you know, more people to serve. And I really wanted my girls to see me working hard on my own property and contributing to the community in the way that I love. And I love to see them out there helping me and just knowing that their mom is giving back to a community that she cares about.
So they're part of your labor,
Free labor.
Which we will get to in a second, because you're always looking for volunteers.
Always. It's just me right now, and I have someone that helps me here and there, but mostly it's just me out there.
All right. Well, we'll make sure that we'll give the details on if anyone's interested in volunteering.
Perfect.
In a bit. But so you talk about it's an intensive form of growing. Mm-hmm. What are some of the challenges associated? Obviously, we talked about, you know, the short growing season. Water can be a challenge, lack of. What about bugs and critters and things? What kind of challenge do they present with respect to an intensive type of growing? You say you're tight,
everything's
tight rows. Yeah. I mean, so what does that mean with respect to pests?
Well, pests are always a challenge. I mean, right now I'm dealing with kind of a flea beetle and aphid problem. But, you know, I've used, and as the garden, I don't know if many of you have been out to the community garden last year and this year, I use row cover over most of my crops to prevent bugs in the first place. And, you know, once they get into the crops, it's hard to manage, especially because I do practice organic practices.
Right, you're not going to spray.
I'm not spraying.
Insecticides.
No.
Okay.
So, you know, but the intensive growing, it really does increase a living canopy in a way, and it can be affected more so by aphids and things, but I just remove those crops as soon as I start to see damage, and because I have quit growing, I can replace those crops pretty quickly. And then, you know, the deer are a big issue in Silver Creek, so we have 8-foot deer fences around both of my fields right now, and so far so good. We haven't had a vole problem this year, which I'm just overwhelmed with joy.
Right.
Yeah.
Although I was actually talking to Daisy Fair this Sunday, and she says that next year could be a big problem because they come in 3-year cycles.
Cycle.
Yeah, and so the next year will be to year 3 or so. So watch out.
So I'll watch out.
So,
I'll be prepped.
So plan for prep for that. You mentioned that a restaurant purchases. Who's that?
So I sell to Tupelo here on Main Street. And Maggie and Matt, the chef Matt Harris at Tupelo, have been the biggest supporters that I could ask for. They've supported me from day one, and they buy my produce weekly, and it's on the menu over there. So get over there and support them, because their restaurant is fabulous as well. So,
So how does that go with a restaurant? You know, do you just kind of show up each week with what you're able to get? How much are you able to plan for?
Right. So every week I survey my field, just make sure, you know, what I have available. Then I send out what I call fresh sheet to Tupelo and tell them what I have available, and then he picks and chooses from that, and I show up on Friday afternoons with my tubs and he takes it all.
Perfect.
But you still have some left over to sell to the public, so talk about
that. So every Friday at the farm I have an event that we call Farm Fridays, and so I have enough produce left over and just that I plan for to supply the community, because that's really what I want, is a community-based farm. So we have a happy hour style event at the farm every Friday from 5 to 7, and you can come over, get some produce, have a beverage, have some snacks, let the kids run around, chase the chickens.
There's chickens.
There are chickens. There are bees, chickens.
Wow.
You can just kind of run around the farm.
Butterflies. I was there.
Heaven.
What's the address?
728 Aspen Lane, and it's in Silver Creek.
And it's the first, it's right as you make a left.
Right, it's on the corner of Aspen Lane and Silver Creek Drive.
All right, Aspen Lane and Silver Creek Drive. Do you have a website or email address?
It's mountainsongfarms.com. And you can go there for volunteer opportunities, to sign up for my newsletter, to find out about events. I'm going to have a big farm dinner at the end of September. Oh. So check that out.
Great.
So you've got a newsletter. So it comes out in that. Is that your weekly?
It's kind of what's available mm-hmm. every week, what's happening on the farm every week, kind of an update about me and my family, that kind of thing.
So if you have chickens, you have eggs?
I have eggs. Not enough to supply a ton of people, but if you get there early, you get some eggs.
I purchased some eggs.
Early bird
they
gets
were fantastic.
The eggs. Oh,
I'm so glad.
Thank you so
You're
much.
Welcome.
So it's a great, it's a great experience to go there and see, it's like a little farm operation. Mm-hmm. You'll give a quick tour or so.
Absolutely.
Right before that you hand them a hoe to weed,
exactly.
right? That's part of the volunteer service.
Come on over and help me out anytime.
Seriously. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to learn more about what goes into a farming operation, mm-hmm. just a quarter acre in size.
Right.
But there's a lot happening there.
There's a lot happening.
So it's a great educational experience for yourself or your kids.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Mountain Song Farms, Lindsay Gammon. It's on the corner of Aspen Lane and
Silver Creek.
Silver Creek. Fun Friday.
Farm Friday.
Fun Friday is the KPCW Public Affairs Hour radio show.
Really? Farm Friday.
Just rolls off the tongue.
It's fun, too.
Yeah.
Starting
fun
at
Friday.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And goes to...
Till 7.
Chickens are... ask you to
till
leave.
Sundown.
Have had enough of you. Okay. Lindsay Gammon, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so
Stay
much.
Stay in touch. And we'll be interested to see how the rest of the season and your event.
Yeah.
In September?
September 30th.
All right. We'll help post that. All right. Let's take a quick break. For a couple last final underwriters and sponsors, and then it's time to
That's
wrap
right.
up. This Green Earth.
Wyndham Vacation Rentals would like to say thank you to KPCW and its dedicated staff for all they do for the Park City community. That's why we continue to be proud supporters of our local radio station. 649-6606 for nightly rentals and property management information, or online at wvrparkcity.com.
There are many benefits of keeping weeds off your land. I'm Sterling Graham, proud supporter of KPCW and owner of Ground Solutions, a local company focused on weed abatement. Ground Solutions offers land management to commercial, residential, state, HOAs, and ranchers. More information at 659-9896 or groundsolutionsutah.com.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by AMA Waterways and Park City Air Cruise and Travel, 565-4730, parkcityaircruiseandtravel.com, Long Reimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, lrw-law.com, Fred Marshall Painting, painting Park City's home since 1974, fredmarshallpainting.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Hey, it's time to wrap things up on This Green Earth. Of course, thank our underwriters and sponsors.
That's right. They include Recycle Utah,
Republic Services,
Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance,
Vail Epic Promise,
Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties,
San Francisco Design,
Park City Mountain,
and of course, listeners like you.
You can always email us your thoughts, comments, and ideas for future shows. We'd love to hear from you at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Remember, this is KPCW 91.7 FM Park City.
Remember, we've got your Wasatch back.
That's right. Thanks again for joining us. NPR News is coming up.
Restless girl.